Gerald Turner is a leading translator of Czech literature into English and is currently preparing to take on no less a work than Jaroslav Hašek's The Good Soldier Švejk. Though now mainly based in his native England, throughout the 1970s, Turner lived in Prague, where he lost his enthusiasm for communism and fell in with lots of notable figures on the city's art scene. Our tour of his Prague begins at the pub U Parlamentu in the old town.
This is the pub that we didn't usually come into, because it was a 12-degree pub, and we drank across the road in Usvitaku, as we called it then, and what he still does, but it doesn't exist anymore. So I can't go to Usvitaku, so I come here now.
And are there many pubs from your day, like, say, from the 70s, still around in Prague?
There are a few, but they've changed character a great deal. I mean, the ones that we used to go into, Uglaubicu on Malostranské náměstí, which has been restored again, but lost its character. Of course, there was Neruda's old pub, Uslumcu, Udvo Uslumcu, underneath the castle steps, U Bonaparta, but they've all become some sort of tourist place.
Is there anyone that still retains something?
You know, I don't think there is. I can't think of any. Not offhand.
Anyway, cheers to that.
Cheers to that. I might even remember one, but I can't remember one now.
And do you know who comes to this pub, U Parlamentu, which is just by the Staroměstská metro station?
Mostly people from the old art scene, the old Umbrum people. There'll be some people from, some of the old guys from the arts faculty, but we're all in our 60s and 70s now.
You're from the UK, you lived in Ireland. How do you think Czech pubs compare to pubs there?
Well, there's almost no comparison, apart from drinking beer, of course. Czech pubs don't have bars. They have, as you know, they have a counter at which most pot men don't like you hanging around, except in the country where they might know you. Now you've got the whole system of the Stammgast table is...
The regular table.
Yeah, the regular guest, and that exists in Germany, and it's the rule here. And woe betide you sit there uninvited.
I've made that mistake. I wanted to ask you, as somebody who lived in Prague in the 70s and on and off since then, for you, when was the best time to live here?
When I was a young man of 24 and 25, that was the best time of my life. I mean, I had the privilege of being able to travel, which was not true of almost anybody here. And I was relatively well paid. I traveled a lot around the country. Through having met up in the 1970s with key figures from the art world at that time and what was going to become, would be called the underground, I used to go off to Ústí nad Orlicí to see Jan Steklík, who would send me hand-drawn postcards saying, for example, "The leaves here are turning the colour of beer. Come over."
Were some people wary of you as a foreigner, and were others drawn to you as a foreigner at that time?
People from the art world, like Steklík and the other people in the Křižovnická škola, as it was called, the Crusaders' School, they were attracted to it. I hope I look a sort of decent-looking bloke, you know, and they took to me very early on.
When you walk the streets of Prague today, do you feel much of the magic that you felt years ago?
It depends where I am. I find it painful to walk up Neruda Street these days. I like to wander in Vinohrady. There I do feel the magic of my old days here. And what I've come to love is Žižkov, where, you know, this great propensity that Czechs have to start up little businesses. And all these basement bars connected with one particular winery in Moravia. This is really a great development. Now, that's where I tell people to go. Go to Žižkov, go to Vinohrady. So that's where I find the magic. And the other day I actually went to Libin Island, and there's a real hark back to the old days, because there's a little pub there that in this little settlement of shacks, which is beneath the shadow of the new apartment blocks there, where they've set up a sort of an old country pub. And the old boys, the people that I knew of my generation, they go there and sit there and talk about mushrooms and such important matters.
not too far from Uparlamentu, on the corner of Vela Slavinova and Krzyżownicka, is a restaurant serving Vietnamese food and sushi. But back in Gerald Turner's day, this was a noteworthy bar, and one that even gave its name to one of the more significant informal art groups of the time.
Beer places used to close around 10 o'clock, so everybody would graduate round the corner to the wine place. And the wine place was called Ukrzyżowniku.
At the Crusaders, I guess.
Yeah, well, it relates to the, I think, to the Knights of the Cross with the Red Star, which is the church just up near Charles Bridge. And at that time, it was a wine place. Previously, it had been a beer place in the 60s. That's why everybody knew it. And that's why the people around the Crusader School gravitated towards it, because they knew the old waiter that was been there for years. So now it's become whatever it is now. It's a sushi bar and restaurant, but I think that the interior is probably very similar to what it was in those days.
Wasn't there some art movement called the Crusaders School of Humour, pure humour without jokes or something?
That's right. That's the sort of the established translation. That grew out of the friendship of Karel Neprash and Jan Steklik back from the 60s, which is where Paul Wilson came to know Jan Steklik, because Jan was coming from Ustina Dolice, was between two metropolises, so he had Brno as his main local city and Prague, and they were associated with the teachers in Umprum. And of course, by the early 70s, you know, a lot of them were under, after 71, were under a cloud.
What was the kind of gist of the Crusader School? Was it a kind of prankster group, or was it more serious?
It's hard to define what is serious sometimes. It was very serious pranks. We were living in that absurdistan, which already by 1971-72 this regime had become, or this country had become. So to engage in absurd games, which we did, like playing with matches and the famous games that they thought up, like playing Ludo with small glasses of rum, and various other, all centered on drink of some kind, was a protest.
From outside the one-time Ukrzyżowniku, Gerald Turner and I head across the old town to Michalska, home to a couple of the most old-school wine bars in the city. One of them has chalkboards advertising its wares outside and tile floors and high stools and tables inside. Named Vino Blatel, it has a mainly older clientele when we enter at around 6 p.m.
I think this was very unchanged since I used to come here. There were some fairly hardened alcoholics who used to come. I was amazed how this place was always, well, full at the most odd times of the day. It was always a very relaxed atmosphere in these places. I assume, as everywhere, you kept your lip buttoned about anything that, apart from the most banal.
And is it kind of, I don't know, gratifying or reassuring or something for you to see these old school places that haven't changed much since your day?
Absolutely. I think this is, and I think that cities have a duty to retain these places, because they are a link with the past and with the culture of the country.
You are translating The Good Soldier Schweik. Are there many places in Prague that still have any traces of either Schweik or Hašek, or places the author or character would have visited?
Like we were saying, it's hard to find any of the old pubs that resemble what Hašek would have known. I think probably when I was lucky enough to come here in the 70s, when some of the pubs still had a similar atmosphere to them. I haven't been to Utigra for a long time. Utigra. Terrible, isn't it? For a long time. But I hope they haven't changed very much there. But the sort of place I can think of maybe is Ucherni Hovola, up near the Foreign Ministry, which was revived after 1919, where it was in fact a buyout by the local drinkers, if I remember rightly. I feel up there there is an atmosphere of the old times.
And how daunting is it for you to be translating one of the best-known Czech books of all time, and for me, one of the best and definitely one of the funniest?
It's terrifying. I'm in the preliminary phase. At this moment, I'm getting my head round it and rereading it again. I suspect that the last time I read it in Czech, I skipped some passages. I realized I was reading it that I probably skipped some of the passages when Dub got too boring or Kadet Bigler got too boring. I jumped on. But that's the great thing about a great novel, is that you can pick it up and open any page, and there'll be something there that is rewarding.
When you've translated Vatsuli, Klima, you're going to be doing Hašek, does it give you a stronger sense of connection to the Czechs and to the Czech Republic?
Oh, certainly. Certainly. And I was amazed this time rereading Švejk. The language is what I came to learn in the early 1970s. It is Prague Czech, and it presents no great difficulties to me, apart from, of course, the specific words that are used in the army, German, which I'm not a speaker of, but that will be a problem for every reader of the book. I mean, even when it's translated, people will come up against specific terminology which is foreign to them, and it doesn't matter.